dealing with Jewel and the three horizons as people understand the three horizons today. Obviously, Horizon 3, which you touched on very early on in this conversation, is so very different from the core. Horizon 1 against Horizon 3. Maybe partly you would like to explain that, but how would you set about structuring this, also ensuring that it does not get killed off by these, as I said, antibodies that don't relate or understand the mission of those people that are managing a H3 type of project? So we've got to define what H1 and H3 are and H2. And then how do you set about gaining support and identification for the people that are within each of those three horizon sort of groups? So the question really comes back to, it's radical, three against one. It's different from the core. What advice, what thoughts do you have on that, relating to Jewel as well, clearly?
First of all, Paul, the term horizon came up by some global consulting companies. Firstly, with the idea of saying these are different time horizons, this is where it came up. And what it developed in some matrices where on the one hand you have technologies or markets or business models, on the other hand, known, adjacent, and completely new. I think the right way to go is to put in one more thought and say it's not just a horizon, it's not just a distinct area, but it's a different playing field. So this is with its own innovation operating model, to put it that way, or innovation logic, if you want to call it that way, within these three areas. And I think the problem is not so much in playing field or horizon, to take up your word. One, the exploitation side. You've got clearly defined processes, phase gates or stage gates, as some people call it. You've got portfolio management, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is not so much playing field or horizon three, where you do the design thinking and the lean startup thing. The real issue is the playing field two, where the core business is adapted in a sense of digital transformation, as well as those big, great innovation coming from explorative ideas are scaled up. And I think having reached that point, I think it's the key question is, how do you organize Horizon 2? And we found out that there are basically three models that you can use. The first model is you say, well, the operative business divisions take care for that playing field or Horizon 2. So you've got some folks in there, got some budget, and they do the adaptation and also the scaling up things that are happening in this Horizon 2. A second model would be that you say, no. In most instances, you will find out that the adaptation as well as the scaling up has some sort of cross-divisional aspect in there. It transcends the existing corporate structure, because the future does not care for the corporate structure, right? So it needs to be organized centrally. You have some group innovation management, etc., that basically take care of this horizon or playing field too, meaning, on the other hand, that the business divisions are more and clearly focused on the exploitative innovation. And there's also a third model where you basically have a shared responsibility between the operative business divisions and some central units that also manage the labs or the centers that are operating in Horizon or Play Field 3. And I think it is very, very essential for success to make clear how to organize that middle ground, so to say. The decisive middle ground, the Horizon 2 or the playing field 2, as we call it.
I think as we both know and have appreciated, I mean, Horizon 2 is often called the conflict zone.
Yes.
It's where the two quite strong voices, the voices of the ones who keep business as usual, keep moving along, have got most probably a high level of profit responsibility, bringing in the shareholder return, etc., come up against the ones out there who seem to be just throwing away money, experimenting, you know, whatever. And these two come together suddenly into this middle zone, this conflict zone. And somehow this zone has got to be the one that's, as you say, it's the most important zone. It's the one you've got to tackle. How do you tackle Horizon 2, though?
As I said first, Paul, firstly, it needs to be clear how this is organized, how this, who takes care of all these activities going in there. And depending on the model that you choose, then you either charge the divisions with taking care of that, or you go for a central approach, or you go for a shared responsibility. The answers to the questions that you have look differently. For instance, if we take what we see in a number of projects currently, is that companies are taking the more central route, because they say, first of all, we do have our business divisions that historically have been geared towards zero mistake, lean, efficient, stick to the rules, etc., etc. They do not have the mindset, and even with some culture change activities, we would not be able to develop those people on a broad scale to really think about this adaptation of core business and the scaling up of those big, great ideas. They simply do not have it. Yes, you do have it on an individual level, but if you look at the divisional level at a broad scale, you do not have it.
But who should handle that tension?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so what you do if you go for that route is basically, you say there would need some needs to be some, let's call it explorative innovation unit that is charged with taking those big, bold Horizon 3 innovation ideas to a point where it either can be neatly docked to the business division or some external path to capturing the value, like joint ventures, trade sale, etc., can be set up. But this needs to, sorry to underline that point again, this needs to, that's part of the equation. They need to go further, so to say, in the innovation funnel to make it digestible for the existing operating business divisions, simply for the reason that, for instance, operating business divisions do not like EBIT negative. They want to see a clear pathway to profitability, right? I mean, that's how their KPIs are constructed.
I think sometimes I get a little bit, you know, frustrated and sad on how people apply a three horizon. They either apply it as just straightforward, you know, portfolio allocation. The other one is time impact. You know, other people have said, well, you've got three distinct buckets in your company, et cetera, et cetera. All of these are nice, but I think they miss a lot of what I think the three horizon framing is all about. It's a dialoguing tool. It's actually a place where you can get the guy who's very strong on one part of the business, hopefully in an environment where he's talking to somebody else because he's connecting to that future as well. It's a matter of how can you bring that guy that's very much in the business today, how he projects forward and sees the future. So if you can draw him in to seeing that future very early on, you can get a much better dialogue and you can get a much better resolution within that horizon too. So I'm a very great believer that it's a dialoguing framework as against a allocation of budgets or a time allocation, et cetera, et cetera. What I did like, I'm picking up on, you recently wrote the playing fields and you said, I think, some nice things. You said, core one is optimization. Core two is transformation, and core three is creation. And I quite like those as sort of a way to get people to think about the fields of opportunity. Is in the fact that if, again, you can think in those sort of ways, you actually are beginning to, you know, define again your three horizons in a much interesting way. It's the same as a mindset of dual. So I quite like what you were doing there. How do you, my last and final point, because we're coming up to our time together, but how do you set about really gaining support and identification to this managing dual and managing, let's say, this playing field, this three horizons? How do you get that real support and identification? Where is it going to come from? I mean, it's a good combination. It's a powerful sort of concept. Where's the momentum behind it, you think? Where is it going to be taken up? What do you see the potential behind this?
Are you asking for the success factors, how to make it happen, or where does it lead us?
More the success factors.
Okay.
Who's going to pick up these things and say, this is beginning to get me out of my innovation dilemma because I'm beginning to see these things coming together and merging? Who do you think are they going to be the people that will be the front runners for that?
I think, Paul, it comes back to the argument that I had one or two thoughts before. You need to be clear on how to organize that conflict ground, that middle ground, that horizon or playing field too, as we called it in our conversation. And you need to live with the consequences. So, for instance, if you take the route, it needs to be centrally organized. That means you do have an explorative innovation unit that really drives it to the point that it is can be taken over by a business division. Well, then you need also to take the consequence and to say this needs to be directly docked to the CEO. If you take the other route, if you say, for instance, it should be a shared responsibility between corporate and business divisions, well, you really need, first of all, to set up a proper governance that addresses the aspects without being overly complex. And you also need to take the route of adjusting the KPIs, both for the corporate guys as well as for the divisional guys. Otherwise, it will not work.
I think picking back up on your excellent example, which is Robert Bosch, is because the chief executive officer of Robert Bosch has got reporting into him the exploratory unit, the technology future of the organization.
Yes.
All of that is coming into the chief executive for him to be able to enable the key manufacturing operations, the key divisions that are running the businesses today, to be able to bring them and fuse them together in ways. So I do think it's very important to look always to say at what level of the organization is talking this game of dual or three horizons or labs, and is that the type of person that can integrate this in a successful way? Because I suppose the final thought is that if people can't find a cohesive and consistent purpose here, it becomes theory and it doesn't get into practice. People have really got to work this as a massively important management discipline if they believe that there's going to be a future coming out of innovation more than just incremental. Would you agree with that?
Fully. Couldn't agree more.
I mean, have you any other thoughts in the last minute or so that maybe we haven't picked up on?
Just one little extension, Paul, but I fully subscribe to what you just said. It's on the one side, it's the people, yes, but a lot of top managers that I encounter in doing my work, excellent managers, and they know their domain, etc., but there's have some difficulties in really understanding innovation. See, they look at it more from a process view, and I need to know, and I need to be predictable, etc., etc. And obviously, you cannot change leadership from one day to the other, or change the mindset of the leadership. So the point that I would like to add to the comment that you just made is also you need to develop the system, like the KPIs, the governance structures, the metrics you use, or the funding mechanisms that you use in order to basically help a top-down, a leadership movement to be supported from a more bottom-up, from middle management to middle-upper management levels to make it happen.
Right. Frank, I want to thank you very much for a very interesting conversation.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Look forward to catching up with you again.
As well.
All the very best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.